كل ولي قلبة من على الصن صلوات قاله وضابيه في هذا الساعات وفي كل الساعات ولي وهافز وقاعد وناسن قليل وعين حتى تسكنه أرزقته وتمتعه فيها طويلة لهم صلى محمد وعلى محمد.
Just a quick reminder, the speeches will start at 10 p.m. from now on until the end of Ramadan. So please keep that in mind. After iftar, the dua iftar is going to happen before iftar. And speeches will be at 10 p.m. inshallah. Salat. Can everyone please move up? Guys, more. Salat.
If I can have a volunteer to go round up all the youth that are outside in different corners of the parking lot. Under cars, behind cars, over there. Just recite a Fatiha, please. Bismillah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحه القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرض روحي وأرواح الفداء ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Through the course of the speech tonight, it is going to rain. So let's not get too excited. It's just rain, and we are in a tent. You've heard rain before, and you'll hear it again, inshallah, in your life. So let's focus on the night. It is a very special night, and the nights that follow tonight are also equally as special, inshallah. Let's do our best to deliver the message that we want to deliver, and inshallah obtain that same message. What's salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
From the enslavement of our desires to the subservience of Allah has been our topic. Tonight is lecture number 3. We began our discussion yesterday talking about a very important question. And that question is, does man have absolute freedom in this world or not? And we came to the conclusion that we as human beings, we as a creation of Allah, we as insan, we are individuals who have been created to follow a certain set of laws and a set of conduct and a code of law. There are norms and there are regulations in our society that we follow. Irregardless of your religion, it doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what part of the world you live in, You live amongst individuals in a society, and there are some unwritten rules, there are some written rules that we must follow. You can't wear what you want to wear, you can't say what you want to say, you can't even drive your car as fast as you want to drive it. Everything goes based on laws and rules. We also said that it's delusional to believe for a moment that the human being is completely free. There is a source of our enslavement. We are individuals who are subservient to some process. Now, some people in this world are slaves to their desires. Some are slaves to the world, the dunya. Others are slaves of Allah. But the process or the concept of us having absolute freedom doesn't exist. In fact, the Quran I talked about yesterday, the Quran is asking a very important question. Do you believe for a moment? Before I continue, can I please ask everyone to please come as close to me here as possible? There are people who are outside already waiting and the tent is already more full. I know it's not carpeted, but if you don't mind being a little bit sacrificial and perhaps coming right up close to my left and right. And if sisters, if you can move to my right a little bit, I know there's no carpet there, but again, a little bit of sacrifice. That way those who come in don't feel like there's no place to sit. It's not a very large tent and we are expecting a large crowd, inshallah. You can fill that gap there in front of me if you don't mind. Come right to the front, please. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So our discussion is revolving around the concept of enslavement. We are doing our best to paint a journey, to paint a path for all of you, where if you are individuals who are, or if we are slaves of our desires, we have to make that ever so important transition towards being subservient to Allah. And yesterday, like I said, we talked about the idea that this society has certain tools that enslave us. Certain tools that allow us to be part of their process. And one of them was social media, I mentioned yesterday. And I also mentioned there was some confusion from a few youth yesterday about this discussion. And that was this, that I said that yesterday, that let's not be so naive, guys, to think that social media is just a tool, like an empty glass is. And you can use that glass to drink orange juice and water, or use that glass to drink wine and beer. It's up to you. We don't blame the actual glass itself. We blame the person who's filling up that glass. The glass itself is harmless. It's masoom. It's infallible. It did nothing wrong. It's a tool that you are using for your own gain and benefit. It's a very naive way of looking at it. It's not that simple. I then use an example to say certain tools have certain purposes. They were created for a certain reason. You can't use that tool for everything and anything. Right? When you try to nail a nail into the wall, you use a metal spoon, you won't get very far. Because that spoon wasn't meant to nail nails into the wall. You need a hammer. You want to chop some wood, getting a butter knife won't do you much good. You need a saw. These things are tools nonetheless, just like the glasses, but that tool has a certain purpose and a certain mission in mind. It was created for a certain reason, and social media is no different. And we said one of the things that social media can do to all of us, if we allow it, is create what's called fir'auniyat inside of us, or in English, narcissism. Narcissism is the idea of self-worship, self-love, admiration of yourself. You are completely in love with yourself and you want the entire world to understand who you are time and time again. And it creates the ana inside of you. And when you're busy loving yourself and worshiping yourself, you have no time to love and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we allow this tool to do that to us, then it's done its purpose, unfortunately. Instead, what we want to do is we want to be able to understand how can we save ourselves from using such tools for the betterment. Now, let me also say this, and I have to say, because a lot of you will misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not against social media. I've said that time and time again. I'm trying to Islamicize social media to make sure you use it for the right purposes. Like I said, ulama have Facebook accounts. The Hawza Ilmiya in Qom has a Facebook account. There are ulamas who have Twitter accounts. And that's all great. But don't be naive to think that it's just a simple tool. It's not. There's reasons why every company, every TV show, every magazine, every athlete has a Twitter account. There's reasons why Facebook just took off the way it did. Let's not be naive. Let's open up our eyes for a moment. And if you fall into that trap, then you fall into that trap of being somebody who is obsessed with yourself. And ask yourself and be very real with yourself. Forget talking to me. Be very real with yourself. Are you different behind your Facebook account? Or are you the same as you are in public? Because the little I know about social media, I know that a person who is walking and talking amongst the people is one way. A person on their Facebook and Twitter account is a completely different person altogether. It's creating something inside of all of us that's feeding the ego. Now, so our discussion today will be about narcissism. Follow me for a second, my older youth especially. I don't have my voice left here, inshallah. So one salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Can the sisters hear me okay in the back? Is that a yes or a no? Or? That's good, nice. One more salawat, please, on Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Narcissism. The term narcissism comes from Greek mythology. There was a character in Greek mythology called Narcissus. Follow me for a second, please. Narcissus was a very good-looking young man. Many individuals around him wanted him to notice them, and he would never give them time of day. He would say that you're not good enough for me. Greek mythology goes on to say that there's also a person who lived amongst Narcissus called Echo, E-C-H-O. And she was completely obsessed with Narcissus. She wanted him to love her. But every single time she attempted to get his attention, he would not give her the time of day. And so she prayed to the god of wrath, called Nemesis, to teach Narcissus a lesson. And that lesson was this. I want you to follow me for a second, please. That Echo invited Narcissus to a local pond or a river or a body of water so deep that you can see the reflection of your own face. Now back then there were no mirrors. Narcissus was told that you are the most attractive, good-looking guy there is out there. And so he accepted the invitation of Echo and came to this body of water. He knelt down in front of the lake or the pond or the river, and he looked inside the water and he saw his own reflection, and he was instantly in love. He couldn't get over the fact that somebody is that beautiful. And the story goes on to say that he was so obsessed with his own reflection in the water that in that state of complete shock, he left this world. He died. Now, it's a silly story. It's a myth. But the lessons that we derive from that, and that's how we get narcissism, from the character of Narcissus in Greek mythology. A person who was completely and absolutely in love with himself. Now, when you're in love with somebody, you guys know the rules of love are such that wherever you want to go, wherever you are, you want to discuss your beloved. You want to talk about the person that you're in love with. You want to make sure everyone knows about who you're in love with. You want to do ta'arif and compliment your loved ones. Now, when that person happens to be you yourself, you go around talking about yourself 24/7. You go around making sure everyone knows who you are. You go around making sure that everybody understands the good points about you time and time again. And this fir'auniyat, this narcissism, is born inside of you. And that idol inside of you takes place. And you worship that idol. You begin to worship yourself. And within the Islamic world, it's a disease called the ujb. There are some people, mashallah, who are masters at this. They can turn any conversation about themselves eventually. Right? If there is some story that you're telling, and I want you to really realize, one salat is ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Again, we need to move a little bit forward, guys. There's lots of room on my right here. I'm sorry, there's some spots by the speaker. You guys can get up, or I can call you by your name and you guys can get up. Either one. I know all your names, so please. I don't want to do that. Sorry. Raza, can you move forward? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I called your name. Thank you. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Now you might think that these things are harmless. You might think that for a moment, look, it's just natural, Asibai, for me to want to talk about myself. It's okay that if somebody likes the gift I got them, I can ask them over and over and over again, did you like my gift? You know, you buy a person a watch and you see that person having a watch and you ask them, is the watch working okay every single time you see them? Or you send them some food because you cooked and you ask them, did you like it? Did you eat it? Did your mom eat it? Did your brother eat it? Was it good with salt? Low on sugar? What happened? Look, you sent me a cupcake. Relax. It's okay. But they want you to say it was the best cupcake I've ever had in my life. And build that ego and worship that idol and build that ana and that narcissism inside of you. And social media, with all due respect to those who are in love with social media, adds to that idol. It helps you create that idol. You end up doing things and saying things you would never say and do in public. And you do it all for a like or a dislike, a comment, an agreement. In fact, I've heard people getting upset that when they post new pictures, nobody commented on my pictures. And so you text the person, did you see my Facebook pictures? How come you didn't comment? I want you to imagine, you go to somebody's house, they say, come over for coffee, and you go over there for coffee, and they pull out album after album after album of themselves, of photos, and they pass you one, and they pass you two, and they pass you three, and every single photo they pass you, they want you to comment on that photo. After 15, 20 photos, say, look, find a hobby, get a job, do something else. I'm not here to feed your ego, but on Facebook, on Twitter, there's nothing wrong with that. You're feeding your narcissism inside of you. And I want you to understand that at this precious age that majority of you are at a very young age, if you begin this construction now, when you get to my age and older, it'll be very difficult to destroy these idols. Man dakhalaha ujb halak. Our sixth imam, our first imam, says that the one who allows narcissism to enter his heart, he will be halak, he'll be destroyed completely. There's no room now for anybody else in your heart but yourself. There's no room for any dhikr on your tongue of anybody else but yourself. You can't love anybody else, you're too busy loving yourself. You can't worship Allah, you're worshiping yourself. And this idol gets bigger and bigger and stronger. And the problem is, it comes to a point where you refuse to accept the fact that this idol exists inside of me. If you do some research online about narcissism, psychologists say that one of the most difficult patients to treat are those who are stuck and who are sickened with the disease of narcissism. Why? Because if they believe they need help, then they have admitted the fact that they are weak. one of the signs of a person who is narcissism or narcissist is a person who believes that they are the end-all and be-all of the world. Now you're coming in saying, sister, brother, you're sick, you're diseased, you need help. I know a guy who can help you. For them to say that, yeah, you're right, I need help, and sit down and talk to this individual is not their way. It's very difficult to get an individual who is in this mode of self-love and self-worship to be able to tell themselves that I need help. And sometimes we do with our worship, and that's the scary part. We have scary hadith, and I shared that today with some of my family members. It's very, very scary. When I was doing research for tonight's speech, our 50 mom and our 60 mom has a hadith. These things send chills down my back. The hadith says that this is a hadith qudsi, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said this, that when a servant of mine approaches me and begs me to instill an act of worship inside of his life so he can create love for me, I deny him that request out of fear that he might have a ujba inside of his heart. Sometimes, and I wish in these amal that we have, I wish we had enough time to go through dua Abu Hamza Thumali. It is one of the most beautiful duas we have and the most forgotten ones that we have. If you have a chance these next 3 or 4 days, Google that dua and read the English translation. It's lengthy, but give it an extra 5 minutes. It won't kill you, inshallah. In that, there is a portion that talks about the concept that sometimes I do everything in my power to wake up for Fajr and it doesn't happen. I set one alarm, I set two alarms. You know, I read the last ayat of Surah Kahf, ayat al-Kursi, everything the ulama have taught us, I do. And I don't do it. And days pass, sometimes weeks pass, God forbid, and Fajr is out of my hands. And you're begging Allah, you're pleading Allah, Allah, what's going on? I don't want this to happen. I'm sincere in myself getting up for Fajr, but I just can't do it. Or for Namaz al-Shab, if you want to establish that in our routine, we simply can't do it. Our ulama teach us that sometimes a person who wakes you up for that Fajr is Shaytan, and the one who puts you back to sleep is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is that possible? And look at the beautiful glory of Allah. Worship ibadat. I really want you guys to follow me. You guys are with me, inshallah? One salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Look, ibadat and worship is the exclusive property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a ma'bud, meaning he is the one who is worshipped. No other existence in this world is worthy enough to be worshipped. That worship is his, it's Allah's. Now what he's saying is, look, I know you're gonna worship me if Shaitan wakes you up, but that worship will turn you into somebody who is full of themselves. Right? You ever have those people who yawn and they stretch and you say, what's wrong? Oh, I've been up since 4 a.m. Read Quran, Namaz al-Shab, Fajr, I don't sleep after Fajr. They make it a point to make sure they mention to everybody around that, oh, you know what, I'm up at 4 a.m. What time is Imsak? That's when my day starts. All these things are there, right? And it might start off to be sincere, but eventually Shaitan gets you, and now that Fajr, that Namaz al-Shab, that should have been an avenue for Qurbat-e Ilahi, is Qurbat-e Shaitan. Closeness to Allah becomes closest to Shaitan. And now the person who's waking you up at 3:30 in the morning is not Allah anymore. It's Shaitan saying, Beta Oto, get up. Let's go. It's time for you to inflate the ego. It's time for you to give a reason to tell your friends that I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Or sometimes you email people or text people at 3:30 in the morning just to make sure they know that I was up at this time of the day. Ask them, these are tough questions, I'm sorry. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strips that thing that is his exclusive property from you and says, I'd rather you be sincere than worship me in this state. What a beautiful creator that we have. He puts you to sleep until you wake up and think to yourself, what am I doing? I'm doing this for the wrong reasons. And after a week or 10 days now, all of a sudden, that same alarm that didn't work, that same Surah Kahf that didn't work, the same Ayatul Kursi that didn't work, now all these things are working, and mashallah, you're up for Fajr. Because now you realize that I was worshipping Allah for all the wrong reasons. Even through our worship, we build the idol of narcissism inside of us. That's why the ayat I read for you in the khutbah from Surah Kahf, very scary ayat, says there are those individuals who believe what they're doing in this world is good, but meanwhile, bit by bit, they're destroying themselves and their amal at the exact same time. Because you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for that Fir'aun inside of you. And it's ironic how the Western educational system and the Western psychologists all say the number one cure to narcissism is self-awareness. It's self-awareness. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He says, I am shocked at the state of the insan. The same insan that entered this world as a disgusting, najis drop of semen and will end up in this world to be dust and bones in the ground. He has no idea when he enters this world, no idea when he's about to exit this world, and yet he walks around like he knows everything. Chest out, head in the sky, you walk around like you own the place. The same Amir al-Mu'mineen says, "Sadda sabil al-ujb bima'arafat an-nafs." Block the path of ujb, of narcissism, with the ma'arifat of who you are, your nafs. Understand who you are. Understand that you don't have anything to yourself. If you've achieved anything, it's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where this egotistical nature comes about inside of us, I have no idea. Shaitan worshipped Allah for 4,000 years. We won't even come to a fraction of that in our lifetime. 4,000 years. The Ahlul Bayt described him to be the best of worshippers before what happened with Adam. He was the head of all the jinnat. Nobody worshipped Allah more sincere in his time than Iblis did. One act of egotistical nature, one act of egoism, one act of narcissism, that I am fire, he is clay, and he was banned and banished from Allah's kingdom. One act wiped out 4,000 years of worship. Now a lot of you always ask me, I said, it's not fair. I do one sin and I'm in the hellfire for an eternity. It's a different discussion altogether about God's justice. But look at Shaitan. Allah's mercy allowed him respite until the day of judgment. Otherwise, he was finished. He was banished to the hellfire. All because of one act where he said to God that I'm not going to prostrate to Adam. I'm fire, man. This guy is clay. He's nothing compared to me. You want me to bow down to this guy? Forget it. Narcissism. Self-worship, self-love. When it comes down to it, we only look after ourselves. When you try to understand that you are a creation of Allah's, that we are nothing but slaves of Allah, there's no room at all for egotistical behavior or for this love that we have inside of us. And part of the process is just that. That we have to begin to slowly and surely move away from these tools of enslavement and begin to enslave ourselves towards God's will. You know, my ustad of akhlaq, Aghaye Tawakkul, his name was. May Allah bless him, inshallah. He made a point when he said that we are completely obsessed with hiding our sins and faults with each other. Right? That's what we do. We're obsessed with it. Or we minimize the sin or the fault inside of us. He said, if we did that with our good acts and those things that we do right, we'd be somewhere else right now. The amount of effort that we put in hiding our evil acts, we should also put that much more effort in hiding our good acts as well. Izzat and respect is not in our hands. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ The Quran says, Izzat is Allah's property. He is the one that distributes it to who He wishes. If you and I have any izzat, if you and I have any respect in the eyes of each other, it's because of Allah. Not because of anything you and I are doing. And we have to understand that. But no, we think that we are the ones that are creating the respect we have for ourselves. We're not. So ask yourself very tough questions. The nights of Qadr are upon us now. And part of the process is a cleansing of the soul. Part of the process is to say, yes, I am a person who really enjoys when people praise me. To the point where I want them to repeat themselves. I've witnessed conversations in front of me. Where a person is talking to another person and said, you know, this person was talking very nicely about you. He said A, B, and C. And half an hour into the conversation now, about a different topic, that person who's depraised will bring back the praise somehow, A, B, and C. Because they didn't get over the fact. They didn't have enough of that encouragement and that love that this person's praising me. All they want to hear is about themselves. That's why they say, even Islam says, I'll get to the hadiths in a moment. They say the person who is stricken with the disease of narcissism, self-worship and self-love, is a person, actually they say it breeds from depression. It breeds from an acknowledgement that I am not as good as others. So I need to make sure that I announce the goodness that I do nice and loud so the whole world can listen to me. And what they don't realize is that they are actually creating hatred for themselves by going around and constantly talking about themselves with everybody and anybody that they find. I'll give you one example, a small example. I was in a community once. And we were talking about the snow in Toronto, how bad it gets sometimes. And where I was, it doesn't snow there a lot, so. But they mentioned to me, as a group of two or three individuals, one small instance of what might spark narcissism. Okay? We're talking about the snow in Toronto, how it gets up to the ankles and the calf and knee high, and sometimes we shovel our driveway three times a day, etc., etc. And they couldn't believe it. And they mentioned one time, several years ago, that it snowed like that in our city as well. We're talking about snow and the weather. This one individual, part of that circle, he said, yes, Mulana, I remember one time I was driving home from a place I was at, and I passed by the center, and I saw that the center's parking lot was about 2 feet deep in snow. And I knew that there was a majlis the next morning for women at 10 a.m., so I spent the entire night, Mulana, shoveling the driveway so that the women could park their cars. There's no connection between the two. He simply wanted me to say, mashallah, that's fantastic, that's great, alhamdulillah. And I did, for his encouragement. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Did you guys put the tent up or were we done professionally? No? We're good? Alhamdulillah. Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy, that's time for du'as. Ask for the zuhur of the Imam, inshallah. Ask that the Muslim Ummah become protected from the hands of those who are our enemies, inshallah. This is a time when you hear the rain, you see the rain, you feel the rain, the doors of mercy are open. If you have your hajjat, ask them now, mashallah. The rain comes and goes very quickly, as we'll find out, inshallah. So yes, this individual now made it a point to make sure that he mentioned what he did. Now, I'm not concerned about that individual. I'm talking about the fact that you and I do that so much so that now it's to a point where if I'm in a conversation, I have to make it about myself somehow. If that's the case, we have to fight that item. Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam, look at the approach of the Ahlul Bayt, and this is really where I want you guys to understand my discussion on social media. The criteria I use and the ulama uses is the criteria of the sunnah of the Ahlul Bayt, okay? If social media is creating you to be somebody who is a mirror image of the sunnah of the Ahlul Bayt, bismillah, open up 10 accounts, I don't care. But if that social media tool is pulling you away from the sunnah of the Ahlul Bayt, you have to rediscover and redefine the relationship you have with Facebook and Twitter. Why do I have these accounts? If it's only to keep in touch with my family in Pakistan, India, Iraq, Iran, that's great, that's sirrahan. Maybe that's what you started off with, but now all of a sudden it's something else. Examine that, sir, for yourself. Imam Sajjad says in his dua, one salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Is there any more squeezing we can do in terms of the tents, left, right, anything we can do? There are people getting drenched outside, unfortunately. Right now. Yeah, that's good, that's good. Now, let's come to the approach of the Ahlul Bayt. All of you with me, inshallah? Imam Sajjad says, in Dua al-Makarim al-Akhlaq, Dua number 20 in Sahih al-Sadadiyah, he says, O Allah, if anybody praises me and elevates my status, then lower me that amount inside of me. The level by which this person in front of me is praising me and praising me and praising me, I want you to disregard me in that same level inside of me. Meaning what? Do not allow this person and their elevation to also mirror the elevation inside of me as well. Amir al-Mu'mineen in Khutbah al-Muttaqeen 193 of Nahj al-Balagha, describing who the pious are. Again, very famously, he says, O Allah, the pious ones are those individuals that when they praise you, you beg to Allah, O Allah, do not judge me based on what they know about me. You know me better than I know myself. You know my deficiencies. And I ask you, Allah, make it such that I am the controller of my deficiencies and I'm able to elevate myself to a status where I could be worthy of such praise. They never got happy when somebody praised them. They realized their own deficiencies. All of you realize exactly who you are. All of us do. We know how we are behind closed doors. We know what level of hypocrisy exists in our life. We know what level of good that we do inside of us. We know how we are at the center. We know how we are inside the home as well. Because one thing that our ujub produces is riya. And riya is a very dangerous disease. Riya will destroy and kill you if you allow it. Where here you are, you're fasting for 16 hours a day. You're depriving yourself of food and water. You're killing yourself in fasting for Allah, and it gains you no reward. In fact, it gains you punishment because you did it for somebody else. you imagine? We have hadith that says you're reading the Quran, you're reading the Quran, that same Quran is sending la'anat on you while you're reading it. Allahu Akbar. The Quran says, Waylu lil musallin. I have pity upon those who are the prayer, who are the ones who praise, the namazis, the ones who actually pray. You're praying salat for Allah, and that same namaz is saying, oh man, I really feel bad for you. This namaz is worthless to you. At this young age that majority are at, do not allow the idol of narcissism to enter into your system. Don't fall in love with yourself. It sounds odd. You wouldn't believe how many people right now are in total love with themselves. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
Because our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that everything has to be done for Him. When you are in love with yourself, you begin to do things where that love is produced now. Follow me for a second here. Why do they say that Ujb becomes Riyah, Riyah becomes Shirk? And Shirk is that one guna that won't be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It starts with love for yourself. Where now you do any act of worship, big or tall, difficult or easy, just for that moment where somebody will pat you on the back and say, Shabash, Shabash. What a pious individual you are. Look at this person, she's amazing, he's amazing. And all of that man, 16 hours of a hunger strike, that's all it was, I'm sorry, was for 2 seconds of praise. Was it worth it? The most difficult level to achieve is the level of sincerity. They say there was a man who lived beside the masjid. For 30 years, he says, for 30 years, every time the adhan went on, I ran to the masjid, and my spot was right behind the imam and jamaat. Right behind. I was the guy. One day, he says, I came late. And I read in the back row inside the masjid. He says, I realized at that moment, for 30 years, I was reading namaz for the wrong reason. Read the lives of these ulama. I don't mean to sound hopeless to all of you. I simply want you to be very, very cautious of this society and the various tools they throw at you guys to make you fall in love with yourselves. And if that tool is doing that to yourself, amputate that tool from your life. But you have to have a very difficult conversation with yourself. Because we'll examine this today and tomorrow. Why is it so difficult for us to fight our nafs? Because it's instant gratification the nafs gives us. And this society especially is all about instant, right? Fingertips. The idea of investment for the future, investment for the next world, hasn't really sunk into you and I yet. Everything has to happen now. Today. Latest tomorrow. And we fall into those traps. And so now when the society presents you that instant gratification and we're asked to fight it, we're not going to fight it. Of course not. It's instant gratification. But sometimes that instant gratification will destroy you, as the hadith says. That's why it's very, very important that when it comes time for you to be individuals who are with Allah, you're with Allah. When it comes time for you to be individuals who are doing your obligation, you do your obligation. But we have to find sincerity inside of our actions for everything that we do. Stop and ask yourself, why am I doing this? Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
He says, what is even more difficult than the establishment of a good act is to continue that good act. Many times we establish something that's khair, that's good inside of our life. For all the right reasons, alhamdulillah, very, very sincere in the establishment of that act. But as that act gives us shu'rat, fame, a little bit of praise, it feeds that narcissism inside of us. What was once a sincere intention now becomes an intention that's something else. The establishment was great, the continuity of that act becomes very difficult. Let's be careful. We're talking in these next 2 weeks, we're talking about the idea that are we a slave of our desires or are we a slave of our Creator? Because neither you nor I are completely free individuals. We have masters. Hopefully we have one master. But if we have several masters, the biggest idol that this society will produce for you to worship, guys, is yourself. And we've seen in history, the Fir'aun of Nabi Musa's time, the Namrud of Nabi Ibrahim's time, Arun of Nabi Musa's time, all these tyrant dictators from Saddam to Gaddafi to every single one of them, all of them, their aqibat was what? Complete annihilation. The story of Qarun is in front of us. Qarun was a man who lived amongst Nabi Musa and his time. He was so rich, they say, that he had a team of people who would escort him that simply carried the keys to his treasures. That's how rich he was. Allah blessed him with this risk. Instead of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used that to challenge the nubuwwah of Nabi Musa. He wanted that shohrat that Nabi Musa had. He wanted that fame, that following that Nabi Musa had. He did everything he could to destroy the image of Nabi Musa. And finally, what ends up happening is, you read the story online, the ground literally swallows him up. The Quran says, فَصِيدٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظَرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Travel the earth, walk the land. فَانْظَرُوا, فَانْظَرُوا, look, look for a moment. Understand, perceive, what is the aqibat, what is the destiny and the outcome of those who deny Allah? They haven't survived. Yes, fresh voices come, the old ones wither away. Like I mentioned in today's protest, several times there's been attempts made to destroy us as Shias. From Saqifa to today, hasn't happened. Those who attempted to destroy us, they themselves have been destroyed. We remain. Right? They destroyed Baqi, they destroyed Samarra, now they attack Bibi Zainab's Haram. All of these are attempts to destroy us. We're not going anywhere. We haven't gone anywhere so far. In fact, we're getting stronger and stronger bit by bit. Because these people realize, or maybe they think for a moment, that if we attack these artificial concepts, then maybe the entire ideology will go away. That's why your connection with God, guys, is very, very important. Do not allow this society to present tools for all of us to create that fir'auniyat inside of us. Humble yourselves. Don't be somebody who's known to be the 411 of the community. But if you want the end all and be all gossip, you come to me. I know everything about anybody. And you do that, why? Because for that 10 seconds, all eyes are on me, right? All the ears are listening to me. I have everyone's attention. I'll tell you who's pregnant. I'll tell you who's engaged. I'll tell you who's divorced. I'll tell you who's failing in school. I'll tell you who's on drugs. I'll tell you everything. Just give me your attention. Feed that ego. Build that idol of narcissism inside of me so I can go home happy. Destroying lives, who cares? Breaking up families, who cares? Putting tears in people's eyes, who cares? My idol is what I worship. I want to worship that idol. I want you to help me worship that idol. It's disgusting. Then you come and you worship Allah. I mean, it's hypocrisy, I'm sorry. Identify your relationship with these tools. If they're destroying you from the inside, like I said, amputate those tools from your life. like a cancer found on a portion of the body, if that cancer is going to spread into the body, the doctors amputate that limb to save the rest of the body. And these are the nights of purification. Starting tonight, the 19th night of the month of Ramadan, besides being the initial amal of Shab-e Qadr, it's also Shab-e Zarbat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, part of the reason why Amir al-Mu'mineen was so hated was because he attempted to destroy these idols of the Mu'awiyah of his time and the Abu Sufyans of his time, of this idea that I am the end-all and be-all. He wouldn't allow these individuals to worship themselves. He showed sincerity in front of their hypocrisy. And they had no answer for Ali. They would never sit down with him and discuss anything face to face. They would do character assassination of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Create a sunnah of sending la'an on Ali on the minbar for 1,000 years. This was a man who wouldn't take a risk out of the mouth of an ant. This was a man who had marks on his back from carrying bread to feed the orphans and the beggars at night. This was a man who was a lion on the battlefield, but a small infant crying for milk on the musalla at night. But they say that the amount of enmity that Amir al-Mu'mineen had, nobody had in history. He was hated like no one else was. That's why he's awwal al-madhlum, they say. Not that he was the first to have dhulm against him, but he was an individual who was the most hated. Because he represented the opposite of what the Mu'awiyah and the Yazids and the Abu Sufyans represented. This Fir'auniyat, this Ana inside of you, and he was the opposite. So they hated him. Some historians say that this individual who was responsible to strike Amir al-Mu'mineen on this fateful morning, Ibn Muljim, he promised his wife that my mahr to you is the blood of Ali. That's how much enmity there was for Amir al-Mu'mineen. On this night, the night of the 19th of Ramadan, the books tell us that he was at home with his daughter Umm Kulthum. And his daughter is reported to say that Baba was very, very anxious on this night. Restless, uncomfortable. He would pray in his room, then he would go outside and look to the sky and the stars and would begin to praise Allah and beg Allah for forgiveness and cry to Allah, and then he would go inside and pray his salat, sleep for a little bit, then go back outside and continue this throughout the night. This night, the night of the 19th of Ramadan. And she felt very uneasy about the entire process. When Fajr came, usually his two sons come and accompany Amir al-Mu'mineen to the masjid. He told his daughter, Umm Kulthum, that call your brothers and tell them to not come and accompany me to the masjid. I'm going to go alone this morning. Again, adding to the restlessness of Umm Kulthum that something isn't right with Baba. There's an image that sometimes you see in the bazaar in Sayyid Qum in Mashhad, a picture of a man with a green turban and abba at the front of his door, about to leave for the masjid, and there's small little animals in front of the door that are tugging on this man's abba, almost as if to say, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you're leaving for this masjid. We know exactly what's going to happen in this masjid. Who are you leaving us to? Don't go, Mona. Amir al-Mu'mineen makes his way to Masjid al-Kufa. And sleeping in the corner of that masjid was his qatil, Ibn Muljim. He woke up Ibn Muljim for Fajr. He gave the adhan that morning, Amir al-Mu'mineen never gave the adhan. There was always a mu'adhin for that masjid. But that morning, Ali gave the adhan. And everybody in Kufa, the books say, were almost as if they were in a state of surprise. Is that Ali's voice giving the adhan? Something is up this morning. They all rush to the masjid for salat. And Amir al-Mu'mineen begins his salat. And they say that in the second rakat, or some say in the first rakat, after the first sajda, when he comes and his head goes back up from the second sajda, Ibn Muljim is standing right behind him with a poisonous sword and strikes Amir al-Mu'mineen on the head. Amir al-Mu'mineen calls out, Bismillahi wa billahi fi sabilillahi fustu wa rabbil Ka'ba. I swear by this Lord that this Ali is kamiyab, he's successful. They say that the ground began to shake, the skies became dark, the winds caught wind, there was a voice that could be heard. Tahaddamat wallah arkanul huda qutla aliyyin al-murtada. Angels began to cry. Jibreel calls out, Qutla Amir al-Mu'mineen. All of these sounds have reached the ears of Hassan and Hussein. They come running towards the masjid. Imam Hassan opens the masjid and sees his own father lying in a pool of his own blood.